my Lord.
Everybody knows this well enough, I think.
There is no other one.
782, Sister Baby.
Who can calm the storms of night like my Lord? Yes, He gives rest to the weary. He gives new life to the hopeless. There's no doubt.
No doubt about it.
About it.
That He's my Lord. Sing it one more time.
Song service.
Amen.
Amen. And God is not you don't put God in a box. And so, you know, sometimes He has things come our way where things are just a little bit different. And we have to get outside of our mold or whatever. And so we enjoy the song service this morning. We enjoy having the ones among us who can fill in when something happens. And so we appreciate Brother Tim covering for Brother Tim. I told Brother Daniel, when you get those two Tims together, ain't no telling what you're going to get. but anyway, we just love the Lord and we love God's family. We'll go ahead and read our scripture here real quick and then pray and let you be seated. We'll go to Romans chapter 11, verse 33. So they're on the screen. Amen. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Can anyone of us say that? I didn't know his mind.
Yep.
Who had known the mind of the Lord, or who had been his counselor, or who had first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. Verse 36 is what I want to focus on. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
Praise us for a moment. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, because you are so faithful to your word. And Lord, when your people choose to stand beside your word, then you stand beside them. Lord, each one of us comes so many miles, and you have kept us every mile of the way. You fed us every meal we've ever had, give us every breath that we've ever been able to take. And so, Lord, this morning we just know that we want to give honor and glory to you. And we just want to surrender ourselves to you this morning. Lord, that you'd be able to speak to us. And Lord, that at the end of this service that we would be a better subject, Lord, that you can express yourself through to this generation. But Lord, we know that time is closing out, and we want to be faithful and be good stewards to be able to redeem the time. And so we're asking, Lord, that you just speak to our hearts this morning. We're here surrendering to you. This time is yours, Lord. We are your people. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I want to read a quote real quick also. This comes out of the fourth seal. God always deals with one individual. Two men have got two ideas. There's never been two major prophets on the earth prophesying at the same time. Look back and see if there was. No, sir. Too much scrupled up. He's got to get one man completely surrendered and use that person. He searches for that person. But there will be one sometime, somebody who will listen to him word by word. And I don't care what anybody else says, they'll never move from it. Amen? All it takes is one. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning.
Amen.
Continue on this Come Out and Hear My People today. I want to title it, subtitle, Don't Miss God's Program. Amen. We sang that song a while ago, I Feel the Pull, and I like that when the sisters come along behind and echo, because you know it's the man of the house, the husband, who is leading the family. And whenever the husband goes to serve God, that echo of the wife should come right behind it.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I like it that way.
Yeah.
Amen. So I always enjoy that song, that feminine voice to come along backing up that masculine one.
Yes,
you know,
right.
That speaks of unity. And it's really good. And so, anyway, good to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. Today, I want to focus on this one thought as we go through this today. And it's why, to show why we cannot serve God in a man-made system,
right.
A man-made denominational religious
right.
system. And I pray, I'm gonna pull out the whiteboard here in a little bit. We're going to be a little different today. Hope that's okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, it takes a lot of time to put something on a computer, and fix all the graphics up, and then when you get here, you're tied to that graphic.
Right.
And when you got a whiteboard, you got something in your hand, inspiration strikes you can do something about
right,
it, you know.
Right.
And I don't think it'd be too good if I walked over there and started trying to do that over there,
yeah.
you know.
Right.
But we're going to do that, and so you just bear with me as we do this. Amen. Anybody wants to testify right now, it'd be a good time to do it while I'm setting up this board. Amen. And I'll have to check with Brother Daniel and see if this is going to be visible for everybody here on streaming. See if that would be okay, brother.
If you could put it over there, it'd be better. It's only Captain Corcoran.
Well,
I'm at Boca.
Yeah, so I'll
be hard.
If I get very far away, they won't be able to read what's on it or see it.
Twist it a little bit.
Okay. How's that? Everybody else can still see?
Can you go back a little bit? Back that way.
Technical difficulties. They look okay?
Yeah.
Is everybody out of your comfort zone now? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We're just on boats.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Amen. We love the Lord. You know, Brother Bram, I love the message. We know that. And I want you to try and pay attention this morning, because as I illustrate some things, there won't be really anything complicated, but sometimes just illustrating it kind of helps you grasp it a little bit easier. And to get the magnitude of it this morning. And so,
right.
You know, Brother Branham came along and he's had that sermon called Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. And he explained to us in there how that the God had to come down and express himself. First, he had to express himself in Christ. He had to be the Messiah, and how he lived through the Old Testament, through the ages in people. And they were Christ in a mystery. Mm-hmm. But when Jesus came here on the earth, he lived. He was that mystery of all those lives of Moses and Abraham and all that. He was, all that was a mystery. He made sense of it. He was that mystery revealed.
Yeah.
And then the prophet came along and told us that inside Christ was a mystery. God had a mystery that was Christ, but then inside Christ was a mystery, because as the song said a while ago, we came from his side. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
So Christ had a mystery. And that was a bride that was in him. And when he was hanging there on Calvary, and they cut his side, you know, and that, the ingredients of life came forth.
Amen.
The church was birthed there. He comes back in the form of the Holy Spirit and gets in his people, and he starts living out the mystery of the bride.
Yeah.
Right? But right. So we know here at the end time, there has to come a church on the scene who will rise up, and she'll make sense of everything that happened through Luther and Wesley and Irenaeus and all those. All that will become clear when what God does through this end time bride.
Right.
And so we know that. And so we're going to talk about these things here just for a little bit. And show you some things that I'd never thought about illustrating like this. And most of the things I put on the board is a timeline. So I'm just going to do abbreviations. We can put ET for eternity over here. So everything over here is eternity. And everything over here after time is eternity. Right? So back here is Eden, going that way, and time going that way, all the way through. And so we'll start right about here and say, this is when Jesus came on Calvary. There's a cross. So this is the Old Testament, right? This is the New Testament. Everybody follow me?
Yeah.
All right? And so in the Old Testament, we know that there were many nations, many, who knows how many different nations, how many different peoples, how many different, and I'll say it this way, spirits, because the prophet told us the nations have spirits.
Right.
And so all those nations you hear about, read about in the Old Testament that fought with Israel, and all, those are all spirits.
That's right.
Right? And they type New Testament spirits that we deal with today.
Yeah.
So in the Old Testament, there was all kinds of nations, and so I'm going to illustrate those. Just each one of these lines is a nation. We're going to have a bunch of them. Just who knows how many there were, right? Just hundreds of them probably. Who knows?
Uh-huh.
And it might have been the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Egyptians and you name it.
Yeah.
But one of those was Israel. Abraham became, God dealt with Abraham, and I'm kind of fast forward because we know how God spoke to Abraham, and Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and then Jacob became the 12 patriarchs, which made up the entire nation of Israel. We'll try to darken that so you know the one we're talking about. So Israel's on this earth, what God was doing there. How many of these nations were sinless? Not a one of them.
Nope.
Not one of them.
Nope.
But God had to come down.
Right.
Right? The scriptures tells us speaking of Israel, they're no different than anybody else, except that God chose to commit to them the oracles of God and to express himself through them. He had to pick somebody to bring a Messiah on the scene, right? He had to do that. And so he, going through, and he had all these nations, and he's looking there, and he's like, well, I could pick somebody over here in the Hivites or the Jebusites or, but no, he picked Abraham out of Ur, right? He picked him. Did that make Abraham better than anybody else? Don't know. It was just because that was God's choice.
Right.
So God chose one man. He didn't choose 50.
Right.
He didn't choose two. He chose one man, as we read the quote. He chose one man is all it takes.
Right.
When God gets a hold of that one man, he can change the entire history of the universe, if you want to say that, but our entire history of humanity, just by one man being surrendered to him, or one man that he chooses and calls that man. And so he calls Abraham. And so Abraham begets Isaac and Jacob and the 12 patriarchs. And so in the Old Testament, we have all these nations. But I want to ask you, how many nations was God working with? One.
Right, absolutely.
Not 20.
No.
Not even two.
No.
One nation.
That's right. Yeah.
So I'm speaking of in typology, show you our day.
Right?
One nation. Start out with Abraham and begin to work through him, and which his offspring became one nation there. And there was all these other nations were religious. They all had ways that they served their God, what they thought was their God, but apparently God didn't appreciate it because they were pagans and they were idolaters. Because we went through that. So we have Israel here that God is working through. And when it comes time, we know the history of Israel, that even they sinned, and God, somebody would take them into war and so forth, and they would cry out to God, and they'd come back. It was a continual process of backsliding, coming back and sinning, backsliding, and so forth. And so we know how that Israel was split into North Israel and Southern, which was Judah. Remember how that happened. And so we're going through time, and Israel finally sends to the place, the northern part. They send to the place where God says, I'm done with them. And you look, my wife and I have been reading in Kings and so forth recently, and so we recently went through this. So he's like, I'm done with Israel, but he still dealt with Judah for a while.
Yeah.
You can look at the timeline of all the kings, and so there was a long time that there wasn't any more kings in Israel, but there was with Judah. But eventually Judah got in trouble the same way,
right.
And eventually God said, I'm removing them out of my sight, and they got carried away into Babylon,
right?
But God still had to fulfill his word.
Right.
He still had to bring a Messiah on the scene, so he still had to have Israel back in their homeland, even though they had messed up, and he was done with them.
Yeah.
Thank God for his promise.
Yeah, right.
So he had to bring them back to their promised land. So we know that somewhere over here, just a little bit before Jesus comes, he has a Zerubbabel rise up. Mm-hmm. And he was the one that was responsible to help rebuild the temple, the place of worship.
Right.
So it speaks of bringing back to a place where of restoration can take place. So he had Zerubbabel there, and then we know that there had to be a John the Baptist, a forerunner. And so when it comes time for the Messiah to come, which one of these nations could he come to? Right? And actually, and our brother said one, in actuality, he really couldn't even come to Israel except for his word's sake.
Right.
So he brought them back, and Israel had been, even though they were his people, they had messed around and mingled their doctrines of the word with man's teachings.
Right.
So now you had Pharisees, Sadducees,
yep.
Herodians, Essenes, Zealots.
Yeah.
So now Israel had down here, they had split up into different sects, right? Different groups. And my question is, which one of those did Christ come to? Not a one of them. So what was God going to have to do? He's going to have to raise up one. That one that would be the forerunner. Now, this is Bible. You read your Bible, you know. He couldn't come to any of them. He had to come. He had to raise up one that he could come to. And we know John the Baptist was to be a priest because his dad was. Right? So he would have been. But according to God's program, he cannot raise up this forerunner, cannot be part of any of those nations or part of any of those systems. Because you realize what God would be doing if God would have come to one of those systems, what he would have been doing? Coming to a system that has false teachings and false spirits in it?
Right.
And he would be endorsing that?
Yep.
See, he can't do that.
Nope.
Right? Because there's spirits laying there that was contrary to him. There's no way he could come to them, so he had to raise up one that he could come to.
Yeah.
This is God's program. I'm saying, don't miss God's program. This is his program, to call one and use that one to fulfill his word with. One Abraham, one nation, and then they got off. And I'll give you a secret real quick that we need to remember here. Is that no man can do it. It has to be God.
That's right, exactly right.
And so all this panned out to let you know that every one of those nations went off into a bunch of nonsense, and including Israel, it went off into a bunch of nonsense. And God can't come to any of that, so what does he do? God has to come down and raise up something that he can work with.
Right.
Right? And so that's what he did. He called that one nation. So he tells all the rest of the world, all the other nations, it says, you know, speaking to Abraham and Abraham's seed, he says, those who bless you will be blessed, and those who curse you will be cursed. Mm-hmm. Right? Tells all these other nations, you know,
right,
in essence saying to them, if you want to be blessed, then you recognize what I've chosen. Though they're nothing, but because I've put my hand on them, they're something. And if you want to be blessed, you bless them. And if you want to find yourself cursed, you just start cursing them. You start messing with them.
Right.
And you'll find, and that's what I'm trying to say, is that it has to be something God has done.
Right.
It has to be him coming down.
Right.
And the pattern is that everything else fails.
That's
it has to be him.
That's right.
Right? So really, when he called Abraham, in essence, God came down. Because Abraham would not have changed and done anything different if God hadn't gotten involved in his life.
Right. Yeah.
So God came down, and in a way, that was seventh seal coming.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All through the Bible, seventh seal coming. He comes down to Abraham. And so all those things, when these things are happening because God has gotten involved, in essence, that's God coming down, working his plan. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right.
So we know in the nation of Israel, God says to all the nations, he said, you know, here's all these nations in the world, and I'm going to pick one. Uh-huh. And I'm going to use that one man and that one nation from him. I'm going to use that to be a blessing to the whole world. Uh-huh. The only caveat to that is that you've got to recognize it and you've got to honor it.
Yeah.
And when you start kicking against that, you can't be jealous. You can't say, oh, that's just not right. What do you mean, one nation? God's with that. And I had a conversation one time with a guy. I said, the Israel was God's chosen people. And he instantly got mad. He said, I like to think I'm God's chosen people, right? And I think he was probably whatever one of the religions are, maybe Muslim or something like that. It doesn't matter. The whole point is that God chose this chosen route, and we have to recognize that. And so you can't be standing back and saying, well, I reject that. No, God chose Israel in that day and recognize that and do what you can to bless that one that God has called and chosen.
Yeah, right.
And in doing that, that comes back on you.
Yeah.
So in essence, God's telling Abraham, look, I'm going to call you, I'm calling you, and all the world is going to be blessed in you because out of you, the work I'm doing through you and through your people, your offspring, eventually will bring Messiah who will die for their sins, and the whole world can have access to their sins being forgiven through that.
Yeah.
Right? So That's the way it works. So he picks one nation out of all the nations and tells all the rest of them, just recognize this and it'll be a blessing to you. And really, you know, this may sound, you know, but it's the truth. All those nations, you read about in your Bible, they'd bring gold and silver and gifts and all kinds of things and bless Israel, right? They would bring their substance to bless what God was doing. Even and this was God's program, and it doesn't even go away in the millennium. You find out in the scripture, it says that those who don't go up year by year to bring their honor into the city, they won't receive rain on their crops. See, this program doesn't go away. What God has chosen, recognize that and interact with it correctly, and you'll be blessed. So then he picks that one nation out of all the nations of the world, and he uses them to bless the world. Then within Israel, that one nation now, he has 12 tribes, and out of all those 12 tribes, he picks one to be the priesthood, to be the Levites. He picks the tribe of Levi. And he tells all the rest of the other ones, just like the nations to Israel, he tells all the other tribes, now you bring your tithing, you come, and I'll work through that Levitical priesthood for your sins to be forgiven.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
If the world could recognize what God was doing in the nation of Israel, their sins could be forgiven. Right? Because it produced Christ.
Right.
But inside of Israel, he did it again. He narrowed it down and said, I'm going to choose one out of all the 12. I'm going to choose one.
Right.
And God's program is that all those other 11 have to recognize what he's doing in that one.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, then they get blessed.
Right.
When they don't, right, then they're not. So he chooses that one tribe. Same pattern. So now out of the one tribe, he picks one family. The family of Aaron. Right? And they're all about going in and doing all the stuff closer to God in the tabernacle. And so he picks that one family and says to all the rest of the families in that tribe, you can't approach unto the altar. Right? You have certain jobs you can do. You can't do because I've set aside Aaron and his sons to be the priesthood to go into the presence of God. Follow me? So all the rest of them couldn't say, no, that's not right. I reject that. That's not fair. I don't want to be the one to go in there. God didn't choose them to do that. God chose the family of Aaron. Right? And he picks out of that family, he picks one who is the high priest. One man that can actually go behind the veil.
Right.
Once a year. And all the others are blessed by it when they'll just go right along with it. Right? This was God's program. And so back to what I was saying is, how many did it take? One man.
One. Right.
How many nations did it take? One nation.
That's right.
Right? And you get down to the end, and God can't come to any of them. And so what does he do? He has to raise up a forerunner that he can come to.
Yeah.
And we know John the Baptist was that forerunner. Very clearly says that. He is that forerunner.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so he would have been a priest. But he couldn't be part of that system. So something had to happen. So John was not going to be part of the priesthood. He was going to be. And so we don't know exactly what happened to him, to his parents. There are some people believing that he was martyred. But we do know that John the Baptist went out into the wilderness as a child.
Right.
We know, 8 or 9 years old. I read something, you know, just out of secular histories or whatever. Some of them think he was as young as 3. I don't know how that would work, a 3-year-old. But Brother Bram said 8 or 9.
Yeah.
He's about 8 or 9 years old. Something happened to his mom and his dad.
Yeah.
And I say this because I want to tell you, here's a forerunner. Here's one that had to be different than everybody else that God was going to use for a special purpose. And that special purpose had to pay a price. To be in that position had to pay a price.
Right.
For Israel to be what they were, they could not be idolaters. right? That was God's, in order for God to be a blessing to the rest of the world, he's calling them out from all those things to be a special people. They can't live like the rest of the world. They are a special priesthood, if you want to say, call it that.
Yeah.
God actually called Israel. He said, Israel's my firstborn. Right? That whole nation. He said, that's my firstborn. Yeah. Well, you know what happens to the firstborn? They get sacrificed. So God said, out of all the nations of the world, Israel's my firstborn. They're not going to live the life that they would be. They're going to live a life according to my program. It's going to be a sacrifice. Right? And it's the same way. Abraham had to come out from among his people. So this is where the word church, called out, comes from.
Right.
What are you called out from? Right? We're supposed to be called out from. I ask you, what have you left behind in your pursuit of God? Because if you can't say you've left anything behind, I doubt you have. I doubt you're serving God.
Yeah.
But called out. So Abraham was called out. Israel was called out. The Levites were called out. They couldn't just live anywhere.
No.
Right? They couldn't just do anything, any occupation. They were a special called people in order to be, the rest of them to be blessed. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
So John the Baptist had to be a special person. And he couldn't be part of religious systems. He could not be part of any of these nations. And so even though there was one of those that he was going to be part of, God had to pull him out away from that.
Yep.
Right?
Amen.
To separate him.
Yep.
And this was God's program, because God said, in order for the king to come, you know, they had a king's highway. Kings would travel. They didn't travel in the rough places. They'd go out and make a smooth road, and the king would ride in his nice little whatever. Right? They had a king's highway, a smooth highway. So even God says, okay, I'm natural type spiritual. I'm going to come. But in order for me to come, the people's hearts have got to be made ready. So I'm going to send forth a forerunner who's not, he's not going to be preaching Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, Essenes, or Zealots. Right?
Right?
He's not going to be, because the people's already been influenced by all that, and it ain't working.
No.
Right? I can't come to that. So I'm going to send somebody else, and he's going to come along, and his message is going to be different.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
And that different message is what makes the people's hearts ready to receive Christ when he came.
Yeah. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
This, I said, don't miss God's program. This is God's program. He said, I have to have a forerunner. Listen, if one of those Pharisees or Sadducees, one of those other sects, if one of those had been okay, he could have come to it.
Yeah.
But he didn't. Yeah. They weren't.
That's right.
There was no, not one that he could come to. And I'm emphasizing this forerunner, because if the people's hearts were not prepared by that forerunner, they rejected Christ.
That's right.
We know this. We know from the scriptures, because Jesus, whenever they ask him, said, "What by what authority do you do this?" Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And he said, "Well, I'll tell you. I'll answer this if you answer me a question. The baptism of John, was it of God? Was it from heaven, or was it of men?" And all those Pharisees know the scribes, they've been caught. Because they got over and they said, you know what? We can't say it's from God, because they'll say, why ain't you listening to it?
Uh-huh.
And if we say it was of men, we're going to get stoned, because all these people here, they're gathered around Jesus, that here in this arena as this is going on, they know John was a prophet, and they'll stone us.
Yep.
Right? The whole world didn't believe John.
Right.
But that group around Jesus believed him, and so they're like, we can't answer that. And so that's what they said. Well, we can't answer that.
Yep.
Hypocrites.
Yep.
And Jesus said, well, then I don't answer you either.
Yep.
I'm not going to tell you what authority. But from that, we know that the ones who received John received Jesus, and the ones who rejected.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? That's what happened. That's in our Bible. That's not a man's interpretation. If you read your Bible, you know that the things I'm talking about, that's exactly
right.
Scripture.
Amen.
So this is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So God's program was, hey, at the end of that dispensation of Old Testament, there's not one, so I'll have to raise up one that I can do it with.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Because in doing it, if I coming to any one of those, God would be blessing and endorsing something false.
Uh-huh.
He would be blessing and endorsing death, because anything contrary to the word is death.
Yep.
So you see, the importance of what does it take to get Christ to come?
Okay.
Well, it takes hearts being prepared.
Right.
It took that. And God said, I can't trust them other systems to prepare their hearts. So I'm going to raise up one who does. And so if you read about the ministry of John the Baptist, they're out there like, what must we do? Well, you mean you've been sitting underneath all these other Pharisees and you don't know what to do? That's right, because that's a system of confusion. But they're all like, what must we do? We know that God's doing something here, so how do we get into this? How do we? And so he's telling them, you know, do this and do that and different things. See, what was he doing? Preparing the heart of the people to receive this word when it comes.
That's right.
Amen. That's what he was doing, preparing their hearts, making right. You know, scripture said, speaking of him to come, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. In the Old Testament, it said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make paths straight for the Lord, right?
Amen.
King's highway, making it smooth.
Yeah. Right.
It did not say, and by the way, his name shall be John the Baptist. But we know it was John because New Testament scripture says it was.
Right.
And I'm saying that because there's prophecy that said that forerunner would come.
Yeah.
Did not call it by name, but by function of what it did, you can see that it was fulfillment of that scripture.
Right.
It'd be that way. And you know, so God doesn't break his program. He does everything. He just constantly, he does it. That's how... I don't know how to say it, ignorant Satan is.
Yeah.
You know, if you see people get so wrapped up in their own thinking and teaching that they miss what God is doing, and God's doing the same thing he always did.
Yeah.
You know, and Satan's so wrapped up in his own desire and to be like God and everything that God is sitting here going, I'm doing the same thing tomorrow I did today. And Satan misses it. Because he's so wrapped up in his own program.
Yeah, right.
And people do the same thing. You can get so wrapped up in what you think is right and totally miss what God is doing.
Yeah, right.
So God has a program and we don't want to miss that.
Right.
And his program said, no, not one. I'll raise up one. He'll be special.
Yeah.
He'll be a wilderness man. You know, all those things. And then he'll get the people's heart ready and then I can come to that.
Uh-huh. Right.
And that's what he did. So now, this, what I just described here, was all that God, Christ was a mystery of God revealed, how God was living in all these people in the Old Testament in Israel, and all the wars and everything. These nations were like other religions against the one true religion that God had. Right? Then we got off down here, and within that one true religion, it all got divided into all these different Pharisees, Sadducees, and all those things. God is not the author of confusion.
Right, that's right.
He's not.
Right.
Right? When he speaks, he brings clarity.
Right.
Right? He straightens the thing out. So this all was Christ in a mystery, and now Christ comes along, and he's that mystery revealed. And out of him comes a mystery.
Yeah.
All right? And so now here's a New Testament church. All these spirits of these other nations, they're carrying right on anyway. They keep right on going, right?
Right.
But here's a New Testament church. And that New Testament church down here, as time goes on, they get divided. So now there's Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, Pentecostal.
Right.
Oh, does that look familiar?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Same pattern.
So I want to ask you a question. Which one can he come to? Not a one.
Right.
Not a one.
Right.
So what does he have to do? Same thing he
did. Right.
Raise up one.
Yep. Right.
Who can prepare the hearts of the people.
Yep.
That he can come to.
Amen.
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 Right.
Right. And so we see we have another forerunner. You know what that forerunner says? Come out of her, my people.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Right? Because Israel got carried away in Babylon.
Right.
He called out of Babylon, and then and then had to have a forerunner raise up that could prepare the hearts of the people. And
yes.
God's doing the same thing over here with the message saying, come out of her, my people.
Amen.
And he identifies her as all these other religions there, but the Catholic system, and then they had daughters, and now these daughters are all these different
that's
Christian
right.
churches. And he,
right.
he called the whole thing Babylon.
Right. Yeah.
He says, speaking about there when he was contesting with them, he said, that may come upon you all the blood of the righteous, from righteous Abel all the way to Zechariah, who was slain between the porch and the altar. And then you get over in the book of Revelation 17, and he's speaking of that harlot system, and he says, in her was found all the blood.
Yep.
Same system.
Same
thing. Same system.
Yep.
Did you know that the scripture identifies physical Jerusalem? In the book of Revelation, it says, it calls it spiritually Sodom, spiritually Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. That was Jerusalem. See? So we know that it's become a spiritual Jerusalem, right? It's not natural Jerusalem anymore,
no.
even though they're there. And so he says, come out of her. So come out of all those systems, out of Catholic, out of everything else. Come out of all. Why is he having to say that? If there was one there that was good that he could come to, he would come to that one and said, here I am. This is the right one. Believe it. You're doing just fine. But he couldn't do that.
No.
He couldn't come to one of them. We know that, obviously, we believe that to be Brother Branham, to be that forerunner.
That's right.
Brother Branham started out in one of those systems.
Right.
But he had to get out. God had to take him out of that system.
Right.
Because God could not come and endorse false teaching.
Right.
He can't do it.
Yep.
So, back here in the days of John the Baptist, when he sent to prepare the hearts of the people, was there anybody else that could do that?
No.
Was there anybody else teaching and preaching in such a way that was going to prepare the hearts of the people
no.
other than John?
No.
No. One. One man that God called.
Same way today.
That's it. Only way to for your heart to be prepared to receive the word at its coming, because it's always the word, no matter what. To receive it is a God-called ministry, which we know identified here. We had a forerunner here with the anointing of Elijah. We have it here with the anointing of Elijah.
Right.
The anointing of Elijah because of the nature of Elijah, how he dealt with bringing restoration.
Right.
Right? So Elijah bring restoration, bring them to where Christ can come. And also dealing with Jezebel, a false system, dealing with that. So that's why God would use Elijah over and over and over.
That's right.
And that's why it would happen today. So there is no other preparing the hearts of the people except under the voice of that forerunner.
Yes, that's right.
Right? Because God doesn't play tricks or whatever. If one of those others would have been fine, he'd have done it.
Right.
But it just goes to show, to stand you, that, just to tell you, that what we already know is that none of us can do it. It has to be God.
That's right.
And we all fizzle out. Until we come to God. Something he does.
Amen.
He makes the difference. Amen?
Hallelujah.
And that's what he's done. This is why we cannot worship him under any of these other things.
No,
whether
right.
pagans, Catholic, Protestant daughters. No. If they hold on to any false teaching, especially what comes from the Catholic Church, their daughters.
Yep.
And they're going to be burnt just with fire just like the rest of them. Right?
Right.
You cannot serve God
right.
in any of those systems.
Right. Yep.
The place you'll find Christ coming to when he comes is the hearts that have been prepared by that forerunner.
Yes, hallelujah.
See?
Right.
I hope this makes it clear. Because you always have these that come along and say, well, you know, but we can, as the prophet said, well, we'll serve God under the banner of denominational religion. No, you won't.
No, you won't.
Because the whole thing from the get-go is, come out. Come out, Abraham.
Amen.
Come out, Israel.
Amen.
Right? Come out, Levites.
Amen.
Every one of them to a narrower, more narrow walk. And he's doing the same thing down here at the end. Come out. Come out from Catholic. Come out from Baptist. Pentecostal, all of them, because every one of them denies some portion of the word, even Pentecostals.
Yes, yes.
Right? Come out from all that, because he cannot anoint false teaching.
Right.
So he says, I'll send you one, and I'll be with it. I'll be with him in such a way that you'll know
there
will be things happening in his ministry, in his life, that will be my mark, that nobody else will have that. And you'll know, but you'll know anyway, because you've got an image of that very message already in your heart.
Amen.
Right? And so that's, to me, that makes it really clear.
Yeah.
You're not going to serve him under anything else other than the voice.
That's right.
Of the seventh angel,
that's
who
right.
begins to sound.
Right. Yes.
Right? Bringing that mystery to pass.
Amen.
Amen. And so I've gone through all my notes just about. It's quicker this way, too. I will say a couple more things, and then we can go. If you're okay with that. Amen?
Amen.
How many does it take? One.
One.
God don't need more.
No. Right.
One man.
Yeah.
One message. One bride headed for a rapture.
Amen.
Right? Not anywhere else. I know the world can crucify us if they want to, but that's God's program.
Amen.
And for me, I want to not miss it, and I want to make sure you don't miss it, and I trust that you're not, but if anybody will be listening to this, streaming, or come later, and go tell them, this is why. It's right there in the patterns of the Scriptures, Old and New Testament, why we have to come out from all of those things. Every smidge, I don't want the smell of Babylon on me. I don't want to have any Babylonian garments on me like, you know, like Achan did. Right? We don't want anything to do. We don't want any spot, wrinkle, or blemish of Babylon. Amen. Be a good time for everyone to check up on their life. Amen.
Right.
You know, when Jerusalem was struck with judgment after Jesus and his disciples, you know, that Rome came in and besieged the city, and you remember how bad it was. I read here many years ago the description how that Jerusalem was so beautiful, like a glorious city from the distance. The people just, it was magnificent. And after they were destroyed, people would come by and they're like, it was desolate. The transition, the magnitude of what it was for them to fall from that place that they were.
Yes.
But anyway, when that judgment came, there was not one Christian found inside the walls of Jerusalem that was not caught up in there. Because every one of those Christians listened to their message. They followed John, which led them to Jesus. They listened to Jesus. They did what Jesus said. And Jesus said, when you see these armies begin to compass around the city, because it takes a while to get all the masses in there. When you see that coming, you get out of here.
Right.
You flee. What? Called out.
Right.
But my home is here. My friends are here. We played together and we worked together.
Get out.
Come out.
Right.
See, for everyone that comes out, it is hard.
Yeah.
But it's God's way.
All right.
Why? Because that is a sacrifice.
Yeah.
Right? And any time there's a sacrifice, there's a blessing that can come to others from that.
Yeah.
So if all those people had not left their homes and left their friends, they'd all died right in there inside that, and that gospel that they carried out wouldn't have come out. Perhaps we wouldn't even know who Jesus was today.
That's right.
But they had to leave out. It's like that, I think the guy, maybe he was in Africa, told Brother Branham, he said, worst thing they did, that early church, worst thing they did was when they sold all their goods and gave the money to the apostles. And Brother Branham's like, why? He said, because when the persecution came, they had nowhere to go. And the prophet said, exactly. That way they took it out, and they took the gospel all through the land wherever they went, because otherwise if they'd had something to stay back to, they wouldn't have gone.
Yeah.
Right. See? So, come out. And we know that Brother Ram telling us, you know, and history showing us that not one Christian was inside there because they listened. So Jerusalem became a curse, and God had to call them out of there. Their message for their day said, when you see certain things happening, you get out of here.
Yeah.
Everything you've known, get out of it. Get away from it. That's what he told them. Right. And because they were obedient, they weren't inside there, and that judgment came upon them. And upon Jerusalem, like I said a while ago, that Jerusalem is already referred to as Sodom and as Egypt. But he says, and here at the end time, we know the same thing in Revelation chapter 18, that the message says, come out of her, my people.
Amen.
Come out of Babylon. Come out of a city that the curse is coming upon. It's going to be destroyed, just like he told Jerusalem, right? Come out of there and flee to New Jerusalem.
Right. Yeah.
Which is the bride. Flee this place of judgment and go to this place of safety.
That's right.
The bride of Jesus Christ by believing his word. It's not a physical place we're leaving. Jesus said, don't listen to them when they say here or there or in Arizona or in Jeffersonville or anywhere else. No. That's not it. It's not a physical place you're fleeing.
No.
But it's the anointing of the false, of the age and of Babylon and all the daughters flee those things because a curse is coming upon him. Amen. Come to New Jerusalem. Amen. Aren't you happy?
Amen. Hallelujah.
I remember years ago when Brother Ed Biscoe was showing, he showed a picture of a stone that had crashed through the roof or whatever of this place and had pinned down an image of Pope John Paul, whatever it was. I mean, you've seen the picture, right? And I remember, here's this statue laying on its side there, and you can see the broken glass around it, and this stone laying on the feet of this image of the Pope. And when Brother Biscoe was showing that to his congregation, there was a man in the audience that just began to rejoice uncontrollably. He just couldn't. You could hear him over everything. He went on and on. And Brother Biscoe said, you have, in my own word, but you have to understand that he was Catholic. He was Catholic and had come out into the truth. And when he saw, he could just see that curse there. And you know, and I'm going to say this, I don't know the truth behind it, but I remember that years ago, and I remember that happening. Well, about a year ago, I started kind of digging around, maybe looking for some of the news articles and stuff about that.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden now, they're saying, oh, that never really happened. That's actually a piece of art that a Catholic artist made. But a year ago, using AI, AI told me two different news sources about the story where this incident happened. I went to the same AI platform today, this morning, and it denied every bit of it, said those things didn't even exist. And I said, looks to me like a cover-up.
Sure.
Right? Because right there, when that rock cut out of the mountain to hit that image in the feet, which is Rome, right, and that happened. And I said, even this morning in AI, I said, why would a Catholic artist make a piece of a statue like that to their holy man? Seems strange, right? Anyway, I just said all that to say this. Can't you see why I'm so happy.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's let Brother Tim come.
Yeah.
I've accepted the word of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We should be happy.
Amen.
Right? We should be rejoicing.
That's right.
And it comes out plain and clear.
Praise
exactly
God.
Why we cannot be part of those systems, why we must embrace this word that came with his vindicated voice, the supernatural signs that did not deny the word, but actually, for the first time in all this time, actually agreed with the word, right? Amen. Can't you see why I'm so happy? Do you want to?
Can't you see?
Man, let's all stand and worship the Lord.
I'm so happy. And I accepted the word of the Lord, the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet Malachi.
Oh, can't you see
why?
Aren't you thankful for the truth?
I've accepted the word of the Lord.
Yes, hallelujah.
The revealed word that was spoken by the prophet Malachi.
Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for the word that we've been given today? Not just this day, but the day in the end time. Hallelujah. Thankful for the truth. I just had one song come to me. I don't know if it's in there, Sister Vicki. You can look. I forgot to ask you if this one's in there. But it'll go right along. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. That's what we're doing. We're rejoicing for the word in our day. I pledge allegiance to him for the word. I don't know if it's in there or not. It's on my phone if it's not.
It should be in there.
Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Is it in there, sis? Can't find it?
Yep.
Oh, it's there. Look at that. Okay. Let me see if we can get this. Tim, help me out. Get the start of that. You want to start with the chorus?